1, Barbara Sakharova-Kasha versus Eduardo Aguirre.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Mary Spashotti, and my last name is about as bad as Barbara Zakharovskaya's, but people know me by this horrible name. In any case, we're here on a review of the district court's decision construing Section 1154A1A4, which is the immigration provision that allows a child of a United States citizen to petition herself or himself to achieve permanent resident classification as an immediate relative by virtue of a relationship to a U.S. citizen parent if the self-petitioner child can show that they have reside with the citizen parent and have been subject to extreme cruelty or battering.
What is the current status of the pending proceedings for cancellation of removal?
We have it filed. The case is pending. We have a hearing. But I submit to the court that cancellation of removal is almost an irrelevant consideration here because it dodges the question of what does this statute really mean and how is it possible to be interpreted in a coherent and not illogical situation. In fact, if you look at the cancellation of removal statute itself, and compare that, which is Section 1229B, and compare that to the original version of the self-petitioning statute for children, you'll find that it's got the same requirements as the 1994 Act. So rather than thinking that she's probably got a more expeditious remedy, a simpler remedy, as they have suggested, before the immigration court, she's actually got a tougher road to hoe, because the 1994 Act was changed by Congress and ameliorated, while the cancellation of removal statute has additional requirements that include extreme hardship and so forth. So,
is there any difference in the relief? Because, of course, if she obtains cancellation of removal, unless there's some difference in the nature of the relief in these two proceedings, this case would be moot.
Well, she could also obtain adjustment of status if this petition were approved in front of the immigration judge with less requirements.
So the relief is the same?
The relief would be the same. The objective would be the same. If this petition is approved, she would have the right as an immediate relative to file an application for adjustment of status.
I'm sorry, if the petition, if the cancellation of removal is approved or if the
if this petition that we're talking about today,
okay,
the one that was denied, if that were approved, she could adjust her status to that of a permanent resident, much like the ultimate result of cancellation of removal.
So the relief is identical?
Not quite, because adjustment of status doesn't require a showing of extreme hardship. It doesn't require a showing of battering, because that has already been established by the petition, the approved petition. Whereas in cancellation of removal, you start back from the beginning. You have to show that you've been battered. You have to show that you're a child of a United States citizen. You have to show that...
It's the same things as here.
The same things as here.
Right. So,
but they're not equivalent in the sense, Your Honor, they're not equivalent in the sense that they ultimately result in the same relief. One has more onerous requirements, and the other one doesn't.
I thought cancellation of removal was easier.
No, it's not. It is not. Cancellation of removal requires a number of things. One, good moral character, a criminal-free record, extreme hardship if the person is removed.
Isn't that the same as here?
But this isn't cancellation of removal.
Well, I understand that, but
it's
got the same elements.
This statute doesn't require extreme hardship for approval. That was the 1994 version that was changed, so I want to clarify that.
Okay, now, is her mother a lawful permanent resident?
No, she's not.
She's never been one.
She was a conditional resident.
Right, but...
And then they filed a joint petition, her and the stepfather, and the Immigration Service said that she didn't show that she had actually resided with the stepfather, and so that petition was denied.
So she isn't relying on the mother...
No, not at all.
...in her application for special rule cancellation either.
She can't, because the mother doesn't have any status.
No. Okay.
She can't do it here, and she can't do it before the immigration judge. The problem that we're facing is that there are going to be children, stepchildren, illegitimate children, adopted children, who are going to come forward and try to self-petition under this provision. There are going to be few of them because this requires a child to be cognizant of what remedy a child has and also to have the evidence that a child can present to show battering. The fact that this marriage was terminated 2 years before the petition was filed is irrelevant. And it's actually discriminatory because if the definition of child is one created by marriage, whereas the definition of a natural child is one who's created by birth, the definition of an adopted child is a child created by a decree of adoption. If all of these other situations don't depend on a divorce, neither should the situation of stepchild. There is nothing in the law that says a stepchild loses the status of stepchild when the marriage is terminated by divorce, when the qualifying marriage is terminated by divorce. So the stepchild situation is, under the law, a continuing one, and it's not altered by the fact that the marriage was terminated prior to the petition. But the AAO added another illogical requirement. They said that the qualifying marriage must continue, even if it itself was an abusive relationship, at the time of filing the petition. And if it's been terminated by divorce, there has to be a continuing relationship. And this the district court found to be entirely reasonable. But a continuing relationship between a former step-parent and a former step-child is illogical, because if you're going to say that marriage is the status, if there's no marriage, the continuing relationship doesn't make a particle of difference.
Do you think you'd have a different situation here if Washlaw was... Is that how you pronounce it, Washlaw?
Wachlaw.
Wachlaw. If Wachlaw was dead?
No, it would probably be worse, I would think. Although, it depends on when he died. If he died before the petition was filed, obviously he's no longer a parent. But if he dies after the petition is filed, that doesn't affect the outcome, assuming that there is a continuing relationship of this child with the stepfather, because that seems to be the whole core of the district court's holding. How do you want to have a continuing relationship with someone that's terrorized you? I can't imagine that. And it's illogical inherently. The judge was obviously influenced by the fact that the reward that Barbara got for filing in the federal court was to have her referred to removal proceedings. And there, the district court said, that's a better remedy. That's a good remedy. But it's really not, as I'm trying to equate the petitioning requirements with the cancellation of removal requirements. And in any case, there has been the overview of the possibility, as the district director concluded, that the qualifying marriage was fraudulent. Now, I can't see any evidence of that, but nonetheless, that's another hurdle that I have to go over in the cancellation of removal. So she's not any better off. In fact, I think she's worse off in front of an immigration court than she would have been in front of a district director. There is no history. This is a case where the district director does not want to enforce the exact provisions of the statute that as amended by Congress in 2000. Section 1154 A1A subparagraph 4 states, an alien who is the child of a citizen of the United States, who resides or has resided in the past with the citizen, and who has been the subject of extreme cruelty perpetrated by the alien citizen parent, can file a self-petition. The district court was influenced by the verb is. Is a child. Section 101B1B says that a stepchild is a child if the qualifying marriage occurred before the child became age 18. It doesn't say that the marriage terminates the relationship.
You mean divorce terminates the relationship?
Excuse me. I was so startled by this button. That the divorce terminates the relationship. In fact, under modern contemporary family law, that isn't the case. Step-parents can petition for visitation. I also submit that the term extreme cruelty interpreted by the AAO is completely beyond its competence. We know that when the INS tries to interpret a criminal statute, That's beyond its competence. I submit that interpreting domestic relations law and child neglect statutes, that's also beyond its competence.
Thanks, Ms. Fasciati. Good morning, Mr. Ling.
Good morning, Judge Rovner, Judge Bauer, Judge Sykes. I'd like to just first respond to a couple of different points that were raised by counsel, and in particular, I think these were some of the same points that she raised in her reply brief. One of the points that she raises is that, in essence, what the district court has done in affirming the CIS is to go back to the past, to retrograde and to rely on an older version of the statute that's no longer in effect. I'm not sure exactly how that works, since the only authority she cites for that is a 1984 case from the Ninth Circuit, which is called Palm versus Ray, which contains a very brief discussion of consideration of stepchild status in the non-2000 version of the statute.
But Mr. Ling, doesn't your interpretation of Section 1154A1A4 impose an arbitrary and unjustified hardship on stepchildren in particular? For instance, if her mother were a citizen, she could use her as the required parent, even though she has no more contact, no more relationship with her mother than with Wakwa. And doesn't that seem like an equal protection problem to you? Would any other category of children be penalized for severing ties with or being abandoned by an abuser?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. If I can reply to the question in this way, the provisions that she speaks of, she refers specifically to portions of the House record dealing with Senator Hatch's discussion on this whole question. And the specific site is 146 Congressional Record S10188-03. It's October of 2000, I believe. She cites that provision to raise this question, to bring up this question. And in fact, when you read through that section, it is clear that, first of all, that Congress amended a large portion of the Immigration Act, not only these self-petition provisions, but also these special cancellation or removal provisions. And what the Senate is talking about there is precisely the situation in which a parent, an immigrant parent who is allegedly abused, goes and files is in cancellation or removal proceedings, and the issue there is, can they bring along the child? Can they bring along the child? And under the provision before the 2000 amendment, no. It was a case they could not do that. And Congress felt that there was great potential for abuse by the abusing citizen parent by cutting off, going to state court and by getting an order divesting the abused applicant of parental rights to the child. And that is something that was addressed in the 2000 amendment, which...
Well, what about a biological parent whose parental rights are legally terminated? Wouldn't that child still be eligible for self-petition under your interpretation? Both scenarios seem to me to deal with the legal severing of ties, so why should the statute cover one and not the other?
I think the real issue here, Judge, besides the issue of whether the concept of a stepchild is an immutable concept or not, if it's something which survives a divorce, which is something, by the way, that this court discussed but did not address in a footnote in the case Merritt versus Brolin, 891 F. 2nd 169 at 175 note 6, where it discussed, it was an intriguing issue as to whether the concept of a stepchild, step-parent relationship survived divorce. The real issue is what Congress is intending to do through the statute, and it created two different ways in which abused immigrants could apply for relief. And what it envisioned was, by the way these two different provisions were set up, was a sliding scale. if you have a situation where somebody is presently in an abusive situation at the time that they file petition, obviously that is a question of more immediate harm. That's something where you don't have to go through a full-blown hearing.
You mean because he isn't abusing her right now?
He's not there anymore. She hadn't, at the time that she filed the petition, she hadn't seen
she
that.
She wouldn't be there anymore if he were there anymore.
Granted. But she had not seen him for 8 years.
But the statute doesn't require contemporaneous abuse. It just says has been battered.
But the statute does require is a child. And I think when you take a look at all of those factors.
Aside from the use of the present tense, is a child, and I wish we had Clinton here for what is, in the statute, there is nothing to suggest that a former stepchild would be disqualified from seeking relief. And as she points out, as Mrs. Basciotti points out, the legislative history and the purpose of the statute seems to absolutely suggest the opposite conclusion.
Judge, my response to that is that there is another provision that allows for relief that, in fact, she is seeking relief under right now. That in response to Judge Sykes' question, what she will get is exactly the same relief. The reading that she is urging upon this court essentially makes that second version of relief, which she is seeking, superfluous.
So you think she's going to get her relief? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not guaranteeing it. I couldn't guarantee it here, but I'm not guaranteeing it. But certainly,
should we stay pending resolution of the application for cancellation of removal?
That's something she's applied for, Your Honor, already.
Should we?
I.
It's a horrible case, isn't it?
Judge, we're not arguing it's not a terrible case. We're not arguing that at all. It's a terrible situation. She went through some very terrible things when her mother brought her into Chicago in the early 1990s. But that doesn't mean that the district court was wrong in affirming immigration in this case, especially because she has an alternative basis for relief under a statute which is part of a comprehensive statutory overhaul of the immigration situation vis-a-vis abused immigrants.
But what if she doesn't?
If she doesn't, well, she has review of that as well, Your Honor. She can review. She has review of that as well. If she doesn't get the decision that she wants in front of the immigration judge, then she's free to go in front of Bureau of Immigration Appeals. If she doesn't like that decision, ultimately the decision ends up right here in front of the Seventh Circuit all over again.
Well, to ask the question a different way, if she obtains cancellation of removal tomorrow, are you going to be here with a motion to dismiss on mootness grounds?
If she obtains cancellation of removal tomorrow, that might be a situation that would be appropriate. Yes.
I mean, I think have established that the forms of relief are the same. She can adjust status
right. Either
way.
Right.
Are the legal standards the same?
The legal standards aren't the same because you have this issue of immediacy versus past abuse.
And is there also the additional element of extreme hardship in the cancellation of removal that
yes,
is not present
yes,
here?
Yes, and that's simply because of the amount of passage of time. Since, for example, what we have here, this 8-year passage of time.
So the legal standard for the battering is more lenient in the cancellation of removal because of the past tense than it is here, is what you're suggesting, or am I not following your
argument? No, it's not more lenient. I think you're going to have to prove it up simply because of the passage of time. I don't know if it's more. You submit different evidence. You don't have to submit the same evidence that was submitted in the self-petition. It can be more extensive. In fact, the statute visualizes a situation in which it can be more extensive. So she's actually, she could conceivably be given a chance to present more evidence there.
Okay, well, that brings me back to Judge Rovner's question, which is, should we stay this case pending the outcome of that proceeding? Because this is a very difficult question of statutory interpretation. You know, we're a precedent-writing court. It involves a complicated Chevron or perhaps some lesser level of deference issue that we haven't even started to talk about. and she might get the same relief elsewhere.
Judge, I really couldn't say that. I would only answer that the relief is the same. Either way, she gets a green card. Okay, that was specifically addressing your question. In terms of the propriety of the stay, she's already made a motion for the stay, which has been denied.
Should we revisit that is the question that Judge Rovner was bringing up.
The court is certainly free my time is up. And
you're uncomfortable.
The court is certainly able to, we recognize the court is certainly able to revisit whatever issues it would like to. And I see that my time is up. And unless there are any other questions, I would ask that the district court
all
be affirmed.
All the lawyers want to run away today.
I don't blame them a bit.
What is going on here?
Okay. I'd head for the hills myself. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Thank you, Mr. Lynn.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Fascietti.
Question of whether or not we achieve the same goals by two different remedies in two different forums is really beside the point here. The question is whether or not the statute has been interpreted under the clear and plain language of the statute, namely the self-petitioning statute. And I don't want to go and recite the statute citation because it takes me forever.
But we don't engage in matters of legal interpretation, statutory interpretation in cases that are moot. And
no, but this
likely
isn't
to happen here.
The hypothetical, this is not a hypothetical case. If this case were granted, in addition to cancellation or removal, she could apply for permanent residency status under Section 245 of the Act. Section 245 does not have all the convoluted requirements of abuse because that's already been established in the petitioning process.
Okay, so if she were granted relief in the removal proceedings and the government were to bring a motion saying this case is moot, don't decide the legal issue, what would your response be?
My response would be that if, in fact, she has been granted cancellation or removal, quite obviously there isn't an issue. It would be moot. But we are not there yet.
No, I understand.
And we can't make it equivalent. My time is up.
Thank you,